Buckley has chosen the topic of Christian attitude. Christian attitude.
I'm enjoying the New England hospitality, and I spoke about earlier the New England remedy that was given to me. Some of the friends wondered what it was. I felt pretty bad last night. One of the sisters, maybe she'd prefer I do not name her. I don't know whether she's left yet or not. She's here. She said to me, you take a sock from off your shoe, she wore all day, you wrap that around your neck, you put a pin through it, and you sleep with it like that all night long. And I laughed. I said, no way. But I have found over the course of the years to listen to the sisters is wisdom. I did it. Now, you might have thought it smelled a little bit. Well, my nose was such, I didn't know it if it did. I think it helped. I didn't do much coughing. Maybe I had it too tight. I don't know. I did very little sneezing. I'm not any worse. So I thank the sister very much, and all the sisters who brought me Hall's eucalyptus and vitamin C, and my sister with the herb candy, and my wife with the nice, if you ever heard of that, and all the vitamins that Brother Kochi gave me, garlic included, if you will. I then am able to stand here and still speak, even though it seems that while I'm silent, all I'm doing is coughing. So if you'll bear with me yet a little longer, I'll take my cold back to Michigan again. Hopefully get rid of it. If you look in the Bible, you will not find the word attitude anywhere. It's just not in there. How come? Why? It's simply because it is a modern word as compared to words we've had for centuries. The word attitude is something we consider is how one feels, how he looks at something. We all work. And we can't help but note that most of those whom we work with have a poor attitude. They don't really care whether school keeps or not, if you want to use those words. They don't care whether they do the job or not. Some of them even have to have radios in order to be able to work. We don't believe that that's a very good attitude. We have found, even in our own case, getting up in the morning is not easy. We're tired. We ache all over, our headaches and what have you. And certainly when we rise, we do not have a very good attitude. When we meet with one another, when we see one another, when we meet with the world, when we approach others, our attitude is all important. Before we finish, what we will do is show our attitude is us. It's an astounding statement, isn't it? But let us consider attitude. We want to use the Webster Intercollegiate Dictionary. definitions of attitude. We think they're all very appropriate. Consider them. Number one, the orientation of an aircraft, its axis relative to some reference line or plane, such as a horizon. In other words, you have the horizon in the aircraft, its position, where it is relative to that, is the ship's attitude. Now, we might call that 1A. 1B, the orientation of a spacecraft relative to its direction or motion. Again, a position. Now, when we're talking about a spacecraft, we're talking about something outside of the Earth's atmosphere. There is no horizon, especially if one goes to the moon, which we know has been done, and that several times, which is indeed something that beyond what man ever thought could be done. But that spacecraft had to have a position, had to know where they were going at all times. To do so meant they had to know their attitude, their direction of motion. Now, these first two have to do specifically with position and direction. Now we have C. A position of the body or manner of carrying oneself indicative of a mood or condition. A position of the body. A manner of carrying oneself. It indicates your mood. Your condition. That's your attitude. We can observe others. We don't know how they feel. But it's almost as though we can read their attitude by the way they carry themselves. Whether they go around slouched over, or shoulders back, or in a hurry, or they've got all day, or whatever it is. Indicating one's attitude. D. A state of mind or feeling with regard to some matter. A disposition. How do you feel according to this particular matter? How do you regard it? What is your attitude toward it? What is your position in this particular case? Be it a problem or whatever. It will indicate your disposition. Now, this is my first explanation of the meaning of attitude, where we have direction, position, and disposition. Our second, the manner of thinking, behaving, or reacting characteristic of a specific individual. We're talking about a behavior. What do you think? How do you react? How then do you behave? That's characteristic of your individual, you as an individual. Say a specific individual. We're all specific individuals, and we believe we're all unique. Now, that may be an astounding statement. But we think so. Yes, we realize halfway around the world there's someone who looks just exactly like we do. I had one woman tell my sister Erna. She saw somebody who was from India who looked just like her brother. Well, that to me is quite a thing. I think there is somebody that looks like me. Not that that's anything great or small. But nevertheless, I am sure that he and I do not have the same character. He may indeed have a far better character than I have. But we are unique, each one individually, and we each have a character and attitude, a behavior. Now, how we behave depends on a lot of things. We cannot always behave as we ought. We cannot always do as we ought. We do not always think as we should. But how we think, how we act, is how we behave and is the attitude we have. Third definition. One's customary manner of emotional response. A temperament. We all must respond at one time or another. And the response that we give indicates our attitude. There may be many reasons for whatever that response may be. We may respond sharply. We may respond as though we really didn't care one way or the other. We may respond as though I want nothing to do with it. But it may not be our true attitude. Our true attitude is what we would have by the Lord's grace developed within us. Not something that is a sometimes thing that may be. Today, all is well. Tomorrow, well, I'm not so sure. And the next day, I'm sick. And I don't really care. There are many circumstances that make the difference as far as an attitude is concerned. But the kind of an attitude that we must gain is that which is a Christian attitude. This is what we're striving for. So then we bear in mind, as far as attitude is concerned, defining it as a disposition, a behavior, a temperament. We may have a reputation for being mad all the time. I used to work for a boss who I would swear that man was mad all day long. I used to have a school teacher. I don't believe she ever smiled. To read her attitude, you simply say that she's mad all the time. But that really wasn't the case. So we have to be very careful in reading attitudes by actions, not by appearances. When we look at attitude, we find there is a direction, there is a disposition, there is a behavior, there is a temperament. All part of the whole. We as followers of the Master find that it is threefold. As far as our attitude is concerned, a direction. Where are you going? Why are you going? What will you do? What will you think? all important? Absolutely. Attitude then is mental, directional, and physical. All part of the whole. It is a matter of going. It is a matter of thinking. It is a matter of doing. Simple. Go, be, do. We can't break it down any further than that. That's the lowest common denominator. Explain very simply what attitude is. To go, to be, and to do. Go where the Lord wants, be what the Lord wants, and do what the Lord wants. Attitude. Let us turn to Philippians, the third chapter. That third chapter of Philippians is one of the most precious, as far as we're concerned, in the Scriptures, as far as the new creature in Christ. The third chapter of Philippians. We're not aware of that fact. I'm sure we will be before we're finished, before our course is over, before the Lord has said it is enough. Third chapter, 14th verse, Philippians. I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Press. How are you going to do that without an attitude? How are you going to do it without the proper attitude, the attitude of going, being, and doing? Can't be done. I ask, how are you going to do it? I ask, how am I going to do it? I'm not going to do it if indeed I do not have a Christian attitude. If I do not have a direction, if I do not realize it is a mental thing and a physical thing, it is that which must be done. But as we go toward that pride, to be, look at Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 7th verse. Just the first part. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you know, as he thinks in his heart, not as he thinks he is, but as he thinks in his heart. That is what we must be. What we think in our hearts. That is why we need so much of the Scripture, so much of the Word of God to go on continually in our minds and our thinking. That's the only way we're going to be what the Lord would have us to be. As far as the doing is concerned, back to the third chapter of Philippians. This time, the 13th verse. In fact, we go back to the 12th, and we know that this word apprehend actually means laying hold of. So bear that in mind, it's a little easier to understand. He said, not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect. But I follow after it that I may lay hold that for which also I am laid hold of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have laid hold of, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's what I will do. Lay hold. So we have an attitude. All based upon a behavior, a temperament, a disposition, make up the whole. The Christian attitude we're going to be speaking about, that which we're pointing out and considering. This is the kind of attitude we want day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. What are we going to do when we leave here? What have we got in mind? What are we going to do tomorrow? A week from tomorrow? How are we going to act? What will be our attitude? We find, have found, will find, it depends on so many things. Going to work tomorrow, and a lot of it's going to depend on our employer. It's going to depend on the people we work with. It's going to depend on how they treat us. And whatever and however, there will be problems. But if we find that we will not allow our attitude to be controlled by outside forces, then we can go and be and do as we ought. If we can reach that point where we are in the Lord and dwelling, nothing but nothing can come in and crowd the Lord out. Then whatever happens makes no difference. We still have that true peace. Then we can have the proper attitude, the Christian attitude, the attitude we must needs have. We can get to a point where whatever happens, no matter what it is, we can take it, understand it, live with it, and rejoice in the Lord. Then we have the proper attitude. Can we ever reach that point? We'd like to think we can. We can certainly try. Realizing we are the Lord's. We've said so. We've given ourselves to Him. There's no doubt about it. There's no turning back from that. That's it. We are His. All we got to do is prove it. Well, it takes some doing. But we have to work at it. We have to realize that we're still in the flesh, that the Lord has given us as new creatures this body to work with, and we have to learn to control it. And by doing that, we can gain the proper attitude. Realizing certain things, basic things if you will, no matter what happens, come what may, we're still here. So therefore, we can take a lot more than we think we can. A lot more than we think we can. Therefore, we can put up with a lot more than we think we can. Understanding is all important as far as attitude is concerned. Why did that brother say that? Why did that sister do that? Why do they feel toward me the way they do? Why do they act that way? If we realize the brother has had some pretty rough times and it has left its scars and it does make a difference. Therefore, when he has anything to do with you, he's not taking it out on you, though it may feel that way. He really is not trying to make you feel bad. To be able to understand that helps us as far as the brother is concerned, and our attitude can be that which is of help to the brother rather than feeling, I want nothing to do with him. It's all in the attitude. It's where the love comes from. That's where the Spirit of God comes in. Christian attitude. This is that which we must gain. We believe, scriptures teach plainly and simply, there is nothing that can come upon us that we cannot live with as long as it is in the Lord. But it takes an attitude that takes a lifetime to gain. But the sooner we can gain it, the better off we are. And certainly by the Lord's grace, we are trying. There are certain essentials as far as attitude is concerned that are necessary. As far as a Christian attitude, if you will. They are things that must needs be and are basic. One of those is honesty. When we came into the truth, we had to be honest with ourselves. As far as Alcoholics Anonymous is concerned, they will tell you, anyone that is an alcoholic, the very first thing he has to admit is that he is an alcoholic. Until he does, they said, we can't do him any good. When we came into the truth, we had to admit that we were unrighteous, that we were undone, and that we needed help. We had to be honest about it. We had to face that truth. There was no doubt, but it had to be done. We've all faced it. Everyone who is here today, who is following after Jesus, came face to face with a realization we're sinners, we're unrighteous, we're undone. And then do something about it. If we hadn't, we wouldn't be here now. It took that honesty. That very same honesty is that which we must need all the way through our journey, the realization that though now in the Lord we're not undone, still we're in the flesh, and we do not always do the right thing. In fact, sometimes we do the wrong. We do the wrong to the point where we feel that the Lord can't help us anymore. We're just gone, that's all, we're lost. But that's because, again, of the honesty. The honesty of realizing the further along the journey we go, the harder it is, and the more unlikely it is we're going to be able to do it. How come? Because we can see our master that much plainer, and we just don't measure up. Basic honesty. When I came into the truth and met the brethren for the first time, when I walked in that little hall, I swear to you that every one of those brethren had a halo over their heads. Every one of them. After a little while, I wonder what became of the halo. Well, I didn't have one over my head. I still don't. But to realize that we don't have, and not to realize the brethren don't either, that's really not fair to them. I thought they were the most precious things in the world. I still do. But they do have their faults. We all do. And though we've been in the truth 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 60 years, we still have our little fault. They're still there. And by the Lord's grace, our attitude should be that we realize it and try to do something about it. And that therefore, my brother, my sister, won't always be perfect and say the right thing and do the right thing and act the right way. We're all in this thing together. Therefore, we help one another. It takes an honesty to do that. Essential as far as attitude is concerned. With the honesty, there is the matter of the work, the doing, which is the hands, and what we do with our hands. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. Ninth chapter, excuse me. Ninth chapter in the 10th verse. Scripture we are familiar with, but note what he has to say. Ecclesiastes 9th chapter, 10th verse. Whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it. Just do it. Do it with thy might. Why? For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whatever your hands find to do, what may that be? Well, that's up to us. The Lord did not write us a letter and say, now this is what I want you to do. He just gave us a blank piece of paper. Said, now it's up to you. I want you to determine what it is you will do. There are many things we can do. Many, many, many things we can do. To help the brethren. To help the world. To help those who truly need it. If it's no more than just listen. It's something to do for the Lord. There are many people who are just waiting to die. They don't have anything to do. They don't have any purpose in life. They don't have anywhere to go. All they're doing is just running out the clock, if you will. Just waiting to die. What they would like is just to have somebody to take a few minutes to listen to them. My brother-in-law, Wally Elias, in his work as a distributor for the Watkins products, every now and then he runs across such people, and he just takes a little time and listens to them and talks with them and maybe put in a little word now and then that maybe it'll help, maybe it will not. But someday it may indeed be remembered. It's something to do. Something to do for the Lord. Something to just take a little time for. Just a little time. Just listening to the friends. You don't have to talk. You don't have to say a word to the friend. All you need to do is listen. Sometimes that's all we need, is somebody to listen. If somebody listens, and we have something on our mind, and it is weighing upon us, if we can just talk about it, just say it. Sometimes without the brother saying a word, we have resolved it ourselves by listening to ourselves talk. Many times we realize that how we felt was a little ridiculous anyway. But all we needed was somebody to talk to. If we find something to do with our hands, one of the things we can do is just listen. And those who we would listen to, I am sure we'd appreciate very much that little time we were willing to give to listen. Things we can do. There are many, many more. Many more. As far as putting out tracts is concerned, as far as public meetings and whatever else have you, things that we can do for the Lord, our attitude toward it is all important. You know, we put out tracts and we say, I got rid of so many tracts. Well, that's really not the proper attitude at all. You don't get rid of tracts. You put out tracts. That's what we do. We didn't publish them or have them published to get rid of. What we did was a purpose of, here's a word that will help someone, somewhere. Now, with the honesty, with the hands, there is a matter of the heart. All important as far as attitude is concerned. What your heart is. The Master said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." He must admit that it is possible that we could gain a purity of heart. Purity of action, no, but purity of heart, yeah. We can gain that, but it's very difficult. How do we go about it? Start out, just as we said, honesty. I'm undone. I will be undone. But I will try to overcome with His help. Therefore, I realize others are the same way. And I will approach them with that thought in mind. I will regard them with that thought in mind. I will prove my love for them, realizing that we will not be able to have the rapport one with another that we would want to have as it should be, but we will try. And therefore I will rejoice with my brethren, and my attitude will be that we are walking that same road together, and thus we will help one another. Yes, build up one another. With that sort of an attitude, we're gaining that purity of heart that we need. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes doing. But we, by the Lord's grace, can do it. Attitude has also a thought of help. We spoke earlier about one's lack of help making a difference as far as your attitude is concerned. To be healthy is to be happy. Health is something that has to be strived for. It has to be worked at. To eat properly is not easy. To eat the right things is not always what we want. But yet, in order to be healthy, one has to work at it. If we are healthy, our attitude shows. It does make all the difference in the world. But we realize we cannot always be healthy. There's no way we can. We can only try. Therefore, to have a healthy attitude, a healthy spiritual attitude, is what we need. Regardless. I'm sure some of you have heard of a beloved sister in California, and a brother also in California. The brother, I know for sure, is paralyzed from the neck down. Have you got any idea what that's like? The only thing you can move is your head. The fly on your nose, you don't scratch it. You do nothing more than move your head. That's it. Health-wise, he is very little. But we understand his attitude is precious. Why? Submission to the Lord. Take what the Lord has allowed to come upon him and just carry on. He has a spiritual health few of us would ever be able to attain. Beautiful. But this is what it takes to able to put up with whatever it is may befall you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he shall be saved out of them. We all have Adamitis, one way or another, no matter how you look at it. I can stand here and say I never had an earache in my life. But I can also stand here and say I have a headache almost every day. So, therefore, what can we say? It's things that we must each put up with. And our attitude makes so much difference as far as our spiritual health is concerned. This is what it amounts to. This has so much to do with the overall picture. So the need of honesty, the work with our hands, the heart, the health. There was also a matter of happiness. When we speak of happiness, we're not just talking about happiness. We're talking about a blessedness, which Christ speaks about in the fifth chapter of Matthew's Beatitudes. Blessed. Blessed. Take a moment and turn to that. Here is wrapped up one's attitude. It's just exactly what it amounts to as far as a Christian is concerned. If you had an opportunity, and I'm sure you have, you probably have heard, and looking over the Beatitudes, and if you've studied them, there is one certain thing that comes to one's mind. Christ starts right out by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You're going to have a happiness that is beyond that which the world even knows if you are poor in spirit. In other words, you're not proud. You do not feel, "I can do this, I can do that," and so on. You do not have eye trouble at all. Poor in spirit. He says, "Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But then he follows that by saying, "Blessed are they that mourn." Who's doing the mourning? The poor in spirit. This is their attitude. Now, if that is not enough, he said, "Blessed are the meek." What's making them meek? Is it the fact that they are poor in spirit and they have something to mourn about? What makes them mourn? Because they realize they are undone. He said, "Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness." How come? Because they realize they don't have it. Because they realize that they need it. So, step by step by step, you're gaining the kind of attitude the Master would have you to have. Now, if you're seeking after righteousness, you're poor in spirit, and you're meek, then therefore, you will be merciful. He said, "Blessed are such." If you are merciful, now you're going to become pure in heart. Step by step by step. In the gaining of the attitude. And you go through each one of these, and he winds up by saying, "Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." You reach that point now where you have the proper Christian attitude, and you can take whatever it is you must. Certainly those who would follow the Master and copy him. You can almost see the attitude of any who follow the Master closely by their actions, by their words, by their spirit. It's all there. All before it. Beautifully. To emulate that, this is what we are striving for. How do we act? How do we speak? What do we do day after day after day. When we encounter people, when we have meetings, when we are at work, when we are at home, whatever it is, our attitude is all important. All important. In our home, if we have children, how we act, reflected on them, and oftentimes you can tell just how the children regard you, me, that when they need help, when they want someone's advice, when they want someone to listen, do they come to us or do they go to someone else? It reflects on our attitude, depending on whether they do or do not, whether we indeed are attentive and listen and try to help our little ones. When I say little ones, I'm speaking those who have little ones. My little ones are big ones now. As far as marriage is concerned, attitude is all important. There's no way that one can make a marriage work without the proper attitude. It can't be done. The thing of it is, the attitude has to be on both sides, and sometimes it is not. I have found with my wife that there are times when she has said something and I just wasn't listening. And so the next time when she said it, she let me know that I was not listening. And after two or three times of that, I guess you know, my attention is much better. That is a matter of attitude. Now, I don't know about you, but it just seems like sometimes your loved one just goes a little too far in a certain subject, and after a while, it kind of goes in this ear and goes out that ear, and you think, well, I know all about it anyway. But then you find later on you don't know as much as you think you do. And therefore, you begin to realize that the proper attitude is to listen. And you go out and listen to others. How about your mate? See, this is something that must needs be, but it's a matter of attitude. We bring this up because we, as followers of the Master's Bride of Christ, should be attentive to one another. Our attitude should be that we are willing to listen, that we are willing to spend some time that we might be of some help, that we can learn an awful lot just by listening. As far as meetings is concerned, one's attitude there makes all the difference in the meeting. Whatever kind of a meeting we have depends on the attitude of the friends that are there. Sometimes we bring our outside influences that make it kind of rough on us to meetings with us, and especially if it's a business meeting. And consequently, things get kind of hectic and kind of rough, to say the least. And if we can, it is best if we leave all those things behind. Let it be no part whatsoever of the meetings. This is what we want. But it's not always that easy to do. But this is what we strive for. This is the proper attitude. Yes, even if it is a business meeting, to act is become a saint. This is the kind of attitude we want. This is what we desire. This should be that which we make an effort to do. As far as our job is concerned, as far as what we do at work, how we act there, the matter of attitude. We are Christians. Therefore, wherever we are, our attitude should be the same. Regardless. When we go to work, we've got one thing in mind. To do the job. We're doing it as unto the Lord. Therefore, this is what we got on our mind. This is what we're going to do. Period. Even though around us, for everyone who is willing to work, there's five of them who couldn't care less. This is something we can't help but see. It's kind of a sad thing, but that's the way it is. Poor attitude. How come? Well, not the kind of work they want in the first place. After all, who really wants to work in a foundry? But we got to work somewhere. And so therefore, we go in this dungeon and we have to slave away. And this is the kind of an attitude. Well, obviously, that kind of an attitude, what can you expect? Not so with us. Our attitude, indeed, wherever we work, whatever we do, do as unto the Lord. That's our attitude. What we have before us as far as Christian attitude is concerned it is a behavior, a disposition, a temperament. It is directional. It is mental. It is physical. It is a matter of going, of thinking, of doing. Simply to go, to be, and to do for the Lord. To the degree we do that, to that degree, we have the proper Christian attitude. So with that, friends, I rejoice to be in Connecticut, enjoy the New England hospitality, and to be able to be of some service. And certainly, I thank you all for just being you. Showing and having and being and doing the kind of an attitude the Lord expects and desires. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Buckley. Dear friends, we hope that this convention today in Hartford has been a feast of fat things, of spiritual lessons for us all.
Our dearly beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy name. We bow, giving thanks, rejoicing for the convention, for the word spoken, for the spirit shown. We thank Thee, our beloved Heavenly Father, for all that Thou hast done for us, certainly for what has transpired here, for all that is said and that is done that would, we trust, redound to Thy glory, that our attitude may always be Thy will, not ours, be done. We thank Thee Thou hast brought us thus far. We know we must part one from another. We ask that Thou would be with each as they leave. That Thy Spirit would be and abide with us, that our love might continue on. That it may be that when we meet again, whenever and wherever, that we will be as Thou would have. For surely we give thanks for everything Thou hast done for us, rejoicing, thanking Thee in our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.